Is there a war on farmers and food? Are powerful people in high places aiming to take control of world food supplies in order to control people? Let's take a look. This is Beyond the Cover with your host, Gary Benoit. And with us today is William F. Jasper, senior editor of the New American Magazine, who wrote two of the cover story articles in the September 12 issue of the New American Magazine having to do with the war on farmers and food. Now, Bill, when you describe that war, you're not talking about the weather, are you? You're talking about something that is political, that is done by the hands of man. Tell us about it.
Well, thank you, Gary. Always a pleasure being on with you. We, in our cover story package, deal with what is happening internationally. We have a genuine food crisis coming, actually already upon us. And we have a domestic food crisis as well. And they are both interlinked. And what we look at in the article are the organizations and the individuals who are responsible for now actually perpetrating a food crisis on the whole planet in an attempt to control global food supplies.
Well, let's talk about Holland in particular, because I think right now what is very much in the news regarding this war are the embattled farmers in Holland who are being asked, in fact, it's being demanded upon them to accept these environmental regulations that basically would put them out of business.
Well, yes. So Holland, the Netherlands, has been the focal point, the central place where this has been happening for the last several years. And the farmer protests have escalated for the last 3-4 years, and now for the last couple of months, where we've seen the tractor and truck convoys and blocking of major highways and roads with their thousands of tractors and with hay bales and manure and other things, trying to let people know, let the government officials know, that they're not going to take this destruction of Holland's agriculture. And people might ask, well, Holland, this is a tiny little country. Why is it? Why is there such a storm there? Well, this is the first place where they, meaning the globalist elites, who are trying to cut off fertilizer and farming practices. This is the first place where they have really gone all out, enforcing the United Nations and the European Union's very stringent, draconian measures, supposedly to save the planet from global warming, save the planet from pollution. So they're attacking the farmers. You attack the farmers, you attack the food supply. And so we can get into the various methods they're using there and who are the organizations.
Well, obviously, if you had no farmers, you would have no food. And that obviously would be devastating to the planet, or certainly to people on the planet. How does that protect the environment to go after this food supply?
Well, that's it exactly. It doesn't protect the planet, and it certainly doesn't protect the people on it. In fact, the environmental excuses that are being given for these limitations, strict limitations on fertilizer, on the number of cattle, the number of chickens, the number of sheep, the number of hogs that farmers may have, and the restriction on their water, and the claims that they are putting too much nitrous oxide, and CO2 into the environment. Those are all pretexts. They're laughable if this were not so serious. But so we've gone into the science of this in these articles, but in previous articles as well, showing that the globalists at the United Nations, at the World Economic Forum, the European Union, at the United States Environmental Protection Agency and State Department have been promoting these schemes As a means of control. This is about gaining government control over every aspect of our lives. And if the control of the food is in the hands of politicians and bureaucrats, then you are truly in danger.
So food is being weaponized.
Absolutely. Food has always been weaponized by tyrants and would-be tyrants and conquering armies and would-be conquerors. That's why we see throughout history armies that have come in have destroyed, used scorched earth to destroy the food, poison the well water, etc., in order to control a population. We saw it in the 20th century in an enormous way. We saw it in Ukraine. Ukraine is in the news now. The communists, when they came in there from the USSR, when Lenin and then Stalin sent in the Red Army, they took all the grain away, all of the food, all of the livestock, and starved the Ukrainian people into submission, murdering millions of them. We've seen that over and over again throughout history, and we've seen it by communist leaders throughout the world, most infamously in China, where Mao Zedong enforced his great leap forward with massive starvation of tens of millions of people. And so right now we're seeing a very strange confluence of some of the world's biggest corporations and biggest billionaires at the World Economic Forum constantly working hand in hand with the Chinese Communist Party. Most people would think these are our adversaries, our enemies. They're not. They're working together. They want global control. And food control is, of course, one of the main, if you control food and water, people are then helpless to oppose you. And so that is why they are working to concentrate power, centralize power over these vital necessities.
Of course, you referred to examples in the past where mass starvation was imposed by armies, imposed by the military, where they would come in and destroy the farms and whatnot. But in Holland, we really don't see armies doing that at this point. It's being done by government edict, is it not?
Yes, it is, and it is being enforced by armed force, by the army and the police. Mark Rutte, the prime minister of Holland, has sent out the military and the police against the farmers. And so the same thing that Justin Trudeau did in Canada,
right,
with the trucker convoys, which the farmers in Holland took much of their inspiration from. And now we're seeing again in Canada, as Trudeau has adopted the same green policies, the Build Back Better of the Biden administration, of the World Economic Forum. Build Back Better is Biden's program. That was his campaign slogan, but it wasn't his. It came from the United Nations and the World Economic Forum. And that's why Justin Trudeau, Mark Rutte, Boris Johnson in England, and other leaders all use the same Build Back Better slogan. And so one of the things that we do in these articles is look very closely, as we have done in previous articles, at the World Economic Forum, the Davos Billionaires Club, led by Klaus Schwab. And we point out that Mark Rutte in 2021 at the Davos World Economic Forum proudly announced that his country, and specifically the city of Wageningen in Holland, had been selected by the World Economic Forum as the new global headquarters for its Food Action Alliance. The World Economic Forum has created this control mechanism for food systems, and they are working it directly with the United Nations. We point out further that in 2019, Klaus Schwab signed a strategic partnership agreement with the United Nations, signed by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. So here you have the United Nations which is the wellspring from which this is coming, working together with a private organization of the world's most wealthy individuals to implement this and force this on the whole planet. They've set up food hubs all around the planet. We mentioned that, and in our online article, we give the links to those so that people can actually go there and see. We're not making this up. This is all verifiable. And they point out in the World Economic Forum webpage for their Food Action Alliance that this is to implement Agenda 2030, which, as we've reported for many, many times over the years, Agenda 2030 is the update version, the 2.0 of their Agenda 21, which came out of the Earth Summit, the UN Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 1992.
Well, so far you've talked specifically about Holland and also Canada, but obviously those are simply two battlefronts or two prongs, if you will, of a global war against farmers and food. Tell us, Bill, about what's happening in the United States in that war.
Yes, well, the United States is really the key country that is being targeted because we are the biggest, we are the largest exporter, we are the largest producer of virtually all agricultural commodities, food. And if you want to, and we are significant, particularly because the vast majority of our food is produced by family farms. Even though our farm population has drastically diminished over the last century, from about a third of our people being farmers to now less than 1%, farmers are still the vast majority of our food is made by small to medium-sized family farms. And a very important thing here, the farm population has been reliably voting conservative and Republican and overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. So they need to be taken out. So part of the program that the Biden administration is following, which is the same one that the United Nations, the World Economic Forum are promoting, is that we need to put more and more restrictions on the farmers so that we can wipe out most of the family farms, turn them into mega farms like they do in communist China and in most of the other communist countries. And those particular big corporate farms then will have special privileges with the government. They'll get all kinds of subsidies, etc., but they'll be able to control the food, and we will have then we'll be at the mercy of government and the bureaucrats and the corporatists who are in control of the food.
Do you think this actually could reach a point where there could be starvation in the land of plenty known as the United States of America?
Absolutely. You know, there's nothing magical about the United States that gives us immunity to that. The magic is in the individual initiative and private property and the small size of government as it was intended by the founders. But as government grows and grows and takes more and more control, and as evil people, not just dumb people, but evil people take control of the levers of government and start implementing tyrannical plans, our ability to feed ourselves is going to be, for the first time in our history, seriously threatened. It is seriously threatened now. And if we don't get a hold of this and roll back all of these insane and evil plans to regulate our farm and tax our farms and our farmers and ranchers out of business, we will have starvation. It's already happened around the world. In our articles, in our current issue of the magazine, we talk about Sri Lanka. Most people don't know where Sri Lanka is. It's that island right below India, an island state nation. And just a couple of months ago, President
Rajapaksa was forced to flee the country. He had implemented this program. He wanted to be the first one in the world to implement this new program, banning all fertilizer. And it was a disaster, which is exactly what the experts and the farmers told him and the scientists told him would happen. Pretty soon, Sri Lanka, instead of being an exporter, the people were starving, and they had food riots. There was no fuel. Finally, he was forced to go to the World Economic Forum and to the International Monetary Fund and beg for aid for his country, but it was too late. There was a revolution there. He had to flee the country, and now they're trying to pick up the pieces and put their country back together again. That's something we've usually associated with third world countries, but the Biden administration is going full bore to implement this, and we could see our own country, our own nation, turned into that same kind of third world hellhole.
Well, what you're describing, Bill, certainly could sound fantastic to people unfamiliar with the evidence, but the bottom line is, when you look at the evidence is overwhelming that what you're saying is happening, and that it will get much worse, and will end with starvation globally, including the United States, if we don't do something about it. But my final question is this: as monstrous and as overwhelming as this conspiracy may be to capture the world's food supply, to weaponize food, are you hopeful that this conspiracy can be exposed and stopped? And how do we go about doing that?
Well, yes, I am hopeful. I've been doing this for many years, as have you. I was at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. My book, Global Tyranny, Step by Step, United Nations Emerging New World Order, spent a considerable amount of its space in that book exposing this global green conspiracy to use the environment to take away our liberties and to enslave us. And back then, so that's 30 years ago, very few people could see the writing on the wall. Very few people could see the danger. Now it is all around us. So yes, I do see very important developments happening. We saw that with all of the Trump movement. The first time ever that a president had gone to the United Nations and denounced globalism and announced that he was for the nation state and for America first. And all that we saw involved with that. I want to just give one other mention that I mentioned in my article, and that is global warming or climate change. That is the driving excuse, the pretext that is being used for all of this. We can't turn on any television or radio show or social media thing without hearing about climate change, and seeing massive demonstrations, etc. And that gives the impression that you, I, and anyone else who questions all of this and the need to accept all these vast new controls, that we're somehow deniers and we're just a tiny minority. Not true. After 30 years of saturation propaganda on climate change, global warming, the New York Times lamented just a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, major article. They said, with the climate change as dire as it is, voters are not concerned about it. And they lamented that their current poll that they had just completed with Ipsos, or with Siena, had shown that 1% of American voters put climate change as anywhere on their top list of 25 issues that they're concerned about. And they were even more alarmed to find out that among the under 30 and under voting cohorts that are expected to be the most supportive of climate change as an election issue, only 3% put it as one of their concerns that they're most concerned about. So what does this tell us? That all of this, that this agenda that they have, this control agenda to take over control of our food globally and nationally, and all of the other issues that they're using to completely reset our economy and everything, there isn't support for it. It is a sham. It is a fraud. They have been running a huge bluff. They simply have been repeating this so loudly and so many times that many people, even those of us who are onto it and have been exposing it for decades, can be numbed into thinking that everybody is on board with this. But everybody is not on board with this. And we need to keep hammering away at this, get out the information about what is happening here. Everybody is concerned about food. Everyone is concerned about feeding their families. And so we have to really expose this and show people that they can be defeated. We can force our elected officials to go against this Davos agenda, this UN agenda, this globalist agenda, and get back to our constitutional limited government format, which will solve the problem of feeding ourselves and exporting other food to other hungry people.
And of course, your two articles that you have in the September 12th issue of The New American about the war on farmers and food certainly is a very good part of what is needed to provide that exposure to cause this whole thing to tumble. So, Bill, thank you very much for doing those articles. And for our viewers, we encourage everybody to order a copy if you're not a subscriber already. In fact, to get a number of copies of the September 12 issue and to wake the town, tell the people, and get them involved, because our freedoms and even our lives depend upon it. Thank you, Bill. We'll be right back.